Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart, now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Are you one of the 2 in 5 Americans wanting to start your own business or already a business owner? Stay tuned. This show is about starting and growing your business. Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we learn why and how ordinary people just like you started and grew their businesses, and we also talk about the intellectual property that helps protect your innovations.
Now we are on to the acorns. I'm telling you, this is, I really want to try this food because it's really an interesting breakfast cereal. So we have David Cantor with Folk Revival, and he actually has an IP story too. So David, welcome to the show. Tell us about your product.
Folk Revival is a high protein, low carb, hot cereal that's made with acorns. It comes in 4 different flavors. You can find it at folkrevival.com. You can find it on Amazon. If you just do a search for Folk Revival Hot Cereal, you can find us in an increasing number of stores, including Whole Foods up and down the East Coast and Central Market in Texas, and a whole host of independent natural stores in the New York metro area, and a handful of other accounts that we'll be announcing.
Excellent.
That's great. So how did you come up with the idea? And how did you come up with the actual product?
I've been in natural foods my whole adult life. I started very early after college. I was interested in food and sustainability. I went out west and learned about organic farming and eventually ran my own organic farm out there and then moved back east where I'm from and earned a master's degree in food and agriculture policy, which is like, you know, it's a sort of a weird, wonky degree. But I was very interested in food sustainability and our food systems. And then I landed an entry-level marketing job at M&M Mars in their Skunk Works division, helping them diversify their portfolio into better-for-you natural and organic snacks. And then essentially I've spent the past 2 decades really sort of climbing up the marketing ladder within the natural and organic food industry. So I have this really deep background in food. And I led marketing and innovation and R&D for a company called Dr. Prager's, which is a pretty well-known brand. They're best known for veggie burgers, frozen veggie burgers, but they've got a wonderful portfolio. I was with that company for 8 years. We grew that company very successfully and eventually sold it. And then that sort of afforded me the opportunity to finally jump ship and build a brand of my own. And that's when Folk Revival was born. Like I said earlier, sort of in the intro, I was already eating this sort of high protein, low carb, hot cereal that was made with acorns. And as I started building the sort of the architecture for the brand, the mission, the vision, the purpose, and who the consumer target was. And in a fairly methodical way, because I come from this background of, you know, CPG, consumer packaged good marketing, I started doing some innovation brainstorming. And as I did that, one of the ideas that was rising to the top was oatmeal. And I thought, well, I already eat this interesting oatmeal that people around me, friends, family, knew about and liked. I think we have our first idea to launch with. So sort of eureka, our initial products to launch was born, and that's what we decided to pursue. We ended up finding a contract manufacturer to make it and developing the packaging and all of that stuff.
So for our audience who have never tasted an acorn, what do they taste like? Do they taste like an ordinary nut?
They do, but you can't pick an acorn off of the ground or off of a tree and eat it. So it would be...
Well, warning to our audience, don't try this at home. Make sure your acorns are prepared.
Right, right. So you'd probably spit it out because you'd say, oh, that's too bitter. It's actually very similar to olives. You can't pick an olive off of a tree and eat it either. You would probably spit it out. So the way you make it palatable is you just essentially rinse it. And it's like this, it's a laborious process. You have to sort of rinse it and sort of wash away all of those bitter compounds. And when you do so, you're left with a really tasty tree nut that tastes pretty similar to other tree nuts like almonds, walnuts, pistachios. The nutritional profile is pretty similar to other tree nuts. But acorns are incredible because they're sort of like this untapped natural resource right under our feet.
Do you think that there's like any possibility that acorns could be eventually eaten as cashews or peanuts just as a snack in and of themselves?
They can be. So acorns are consumed in some form or fashion in various pockets around the world today. They're consumed in parts of the Mediterranean. They're consumed in Korea. Is like part of this very important sort of traditional appetizer here and there. In North America, in the U.S., they're largely consumed by various Native American communities who sort of value acorns as an important heritage part of their cuisine, like a prized heritage ingredient.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Are there old recipes, like heritage recipes, that have these in them?
And there's a ton of recipes. If you were to search for acorn pancakes or acorn cookies, things like that, you can definitely find a bunch online. And also people who are interested in like survivalism, right? Like preppers and survivalists being able to use ingredients around them. And they are big advocates of harvesting acorns, processing acorns, and then incorporating them into recipes. But we're really the first brand to bring acorns to market in like a modern fashion. And there's lots of precedent for that. We can think back to the last decade or so and think back to, you know, we weren't aware of pea protein or even quinoa or, you know, coconut water. All these things are new ingredients that are getting in sort of now commonplace in our food system.
So our co-host Kenya is going nuts here. She wants to ask you a question.
Well, as a marketer, I want to talk about the name.
The name Folk Revival really harks back to the mission. The mission for the company is to deliver real functional nutrition by reviving heirloom and heritage foods. So it's long. Real functional nutrition by reviving heirloom and heritage foods. So there's sort of two parts to that mission. There's the real functional nutrition part, which is sort of captured by the folk, right? The human part, the folk in Folk Revival. And then there's the revival part, which of course is, you know, like, you know, all about the reviving heirloom heritage and often overlooked foods. That's how we came up with the name. I also just, you know, I happen to be a music lover. I play guitar. You know, it has this sort of musical double entendre, which sort of spoke to me. And it also rolls off the tongue. It's actually those two, that word combination. If you were to do a Google search for Folk Revival, you'll get a million hits because Folk Revival is a thing in musical history. So you can just read all about what the Folk Revival movement is all about. In terms of IP, you know, you need to make sure that the name you fall in love with, so to speak, is not taken by another brand. So I saw that it was taken. And this is where sort of the IP story that Richard alluded to comes in. I saw that it was owned by Clif Bar, protein bars and the like. You know, and I also saw it was actually a product. They had a line of sort of musically themed products, and I saw that the line was discontinued. And I reached out to the CMO on LinkedIn. We were not connected. I think we have very few connections, but I just introduced myself as, hey, I'm a veteran of the, you know, natural products industry. And I see you guys are not only have this trademark, but continue to extend the trademark, right? They continue to sort of hold on to it, even though it was not in active use. And I said, if you don't intend to relaunch those products, I would love it if you would let that trademark go and stop extending your ownership of it. And I didn't hear back for quite some time. I don't remember, 8 weeks, 12 weeks. We actually moved on to plan B, secondary names. And then out of the blue, I received a LinkedIn message from that CMO saying, we have no intention of reviving that brand name. It's yours if you want it. It's up for grabs, which was an amazing thing.
Yeah, I think they were probably acting out of integrity there. And I think that that's a, you know, is a very cool thing. You'd be surprised how often these conflicts come up and how often the companies involved just say, eh, don't worry about it. So it does happen. Lots of times they want money for it. So it's kind of unusual that you were able to get it without funds. I think it's a great story about how you took initiative. So I think that's kind of part of being an entrepreneur. We were talking earlier about some of the entrepreneurial things you're doing to raise money. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, like any new venture, it costs money to get these types of things started. And we have kicked off a crowdfunding campaign on WeFunder. So this has been terrific. We've raised over $100,000 on the campaign to date. The campaign ends at the end of April, and we have also raised some external funds, which is all visible. The whole brand story, a wonderful little video, it's all visible. The nice thing about this WeFunder campaign is you don't have to be rich to invest. There's a very low minimum. So anyone out there interested in the Folk Arrival story or potentially owning a small piece of their own natural foods company, once again, I invite you to visit WeFunder.com/Folk Revival. Check out our campaign page. And if you're so inclined, make an investment or feel free to reach out to me. I'll learn more.
How do people find your cereal again?
They can go to folkrevival.com and learn more about the company and order there. You can order directly from Amazon and a few other e-tailers. There's one called Bubble Goods, which is amazing, incredible, and offers a lot of sort of indie brands if you want to check Bubble Goods out. And then, of course, if you're in the East Coast and live, you know, driving distance to a Whole Foods, we're in Whole Foods, in virtually all Whole Foods up and down the East Coast, and Central Market in Texas with more retailers to come.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 31 markets across the United States. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program director Alicia Morrissey. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X,
and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.